Morning, everyone. You can turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. And the title of my message is Holy Ground. So Exodus 3, I'm going to start at verse 1. I'm going to read this from the Amplified. So it says, "Now Moses was keeping the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, which is Sinai, the mountain of God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing flame of fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was on fire, yet it was not consumed. So Moses said, 'I must turn away from the flock and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned up.'" So I really like the way the Amplified says this, that "I must turn away from the flock and see this great sight." So as you probably know here, you know, Moses, of course, he fled Egypt because, you know, he killed an Egyptian and, you know, Pharaoh was going to kill him and everything, so he fled away. And then, you know, he fed the sheep or the flock of Jethro's daughters. They were keeping the flock. And so, you know, he felt fine. Moses was like, "I'm content with living here with Jethro." So he was there for 40 years and basically, you know, in charge of his flock. And he's just going about his normal day here, you know. Every day, you know, he woke up, he's taking care of the flock. And yet he sees this bush that's burning but not consumed. So it's really important, I think, when it says, "I must turn away from the flock and see this great sight." So it makes me think of, you know, my normal day-to-day life. Who knows when all of a sudden there's going to be a sign from God, and I must turn away from what I'm doing and look towards this sign. And, it, you know, this, you know, wasn't that Moses was doing anything wrong here. He was just doing his normal day-to-day, and yet he turns away from what he's doing to look at this, you know, burning bush. And so it says in verse 4, "When the Lord saw that he turned away from the flock to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here I am.' Then God said, 'Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, because the place on which you are standing is holy ground.'" And I thought, you know, this, of course, was before Jesus Christ died, you know, and buried, rose again from the grave for our sins, and now he lives inside of us. So it's like nowadays, the holy ground is within us. So I was thinking that, you know, we take holy ground with us wherever we go. So it's interesting because Moses came to the Mount of God here, and that's where the holy ground was, but now we take the holy ground with us. And so when we're going out and about our daily lives, we're actually bringing this holy ground to other people. And not only that, but we might be somebody else's burning bush. So when we're out there in the world, somebody sees us, well, they're going to see God in us. And that's what Moses saw. Moses saw God in the burning bush. And so we might be somebody assigned the burning bush that when they turn away from what they're doing and they're going to look towards us, then we just point them right to God. And I thought what was cool was, I wrote down a bunch of what Moses saw after this because, again, at this point, he was around 80 years old when he saw this burning bush. And so this was like just the beginning of many, many things that Moses saw in his life. So I wrote down a lot of things that Moses saw, and this probably just covers a little bit of what he saw. So I wrote down, Moses saw the 10 plagues of Egypt. Moses saw the Red Sea split into two. Moses saw the hand of God write the Ten Commandments. Moses saw the mountain of God on fire, which was Mount Sinai, which is, I thought, really cool because you can just write this down. I want to read the actual verses. This is Exodus chapter 19, verses 18 and 19. And this is the Amplified. So Exodus 19, 18 and 19 says, "Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked violently. And it happened, as the blast of the windstorm grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him with a voice of thunder. So the whole children of Israel saw this. It's really awesome to think that they saw an entire mountain on fire, but it wasn't fire, you know, regular fire. It was God fire. And then I go on with Moses saw the backside of God and talked to God face to face, you know, like a friend talks to one another. Moses saw the tabernacle and Ark of the Covenant. God washed, you know, gave him the plans, specifically showed the plans for how those were to be built. And Moses saw God feed the Israelites with manna from heaven. Moses saw God in a pillar of smoke by day and a pillar of fire by night. Moses saw God's wrath fall on those who chose to serve other gods. Moses saw God provide water from a rock. Moses saw God supply every need and take care of the children of Israel while they wandered in the desert for almost 40 years. Moses saw God's grace and mercy poured out on the children of Israel. Moses saw an innumerable amount of miracles. Moses saw the promised land. And Moses saw all of this because he dared to turn aside and look at a burning bush. And so that's what I want to encourage you today is that, you know, you might be somebody else's holy ground. You're going to bring that ground to them, and you might be somebody else's burning bush. So I just thought that was really cool that, you know, all because Moses looked at the burning bush, all this happened. And so it's just amazing how in one moment on your normal day-to-day life, something God may reveal something to you, and because of that, your whole life could change around, and you just couldn't. Unimaginable things you could see, you know, you could see God's miracles, God's grace, God's mercy, you know, it's just amazing what Moses saw. And again, he was 80 years old when this happened, you know, so it don't matter how old or young we are, you know, we could just, God can use us in mighty, mighty ways. So that is what I have for you today. So.
Amen. I had a sermon today. Because I was going to continue my series. And I just feel like God just really wants each of you to know that He loves you. Amen. Tremendously. The third song that played, there's a line on there where it says, God looked across the chasm and saw us in His sight. And you know, if you think about that, you know, it's like if you've been on one side of the Grand Canyon and there's someone on the other side, there's no way you can get to that person. There's no way. It's impossible. But Jesus, He saw us on the other side, and He kept us in His sight. And that just really touched me this morning. And I had a sermon, and I just felt like today I just need to share with you from my heart. Because I know that each one of you guys, you have worries and you have concerns. And sometimes things are harder for some of us than they are for others. Sometimes we can be going through life and think, when is this going to end? When are these trials going to stop? I've faced these things over and over. Why do they keep happening? And we go through those things. And that is one of the main reasons I started this whole series was because so often the enemy comes at us with things, and it starts with just a thought, and it starts with the enemy trying to tell us, you can't make it, or you're not good enough, or we put up with people in our lives, and we think that somehow we have to just keep putting up with them, and dealing with them, and they're never going to change. And we get so focused on other people that we forget what is inside of our hearts, and we forget what God has spoken to us. You know, all of us, we're all different. The other day I was talking to a couple of friends of mine, and the man, they both had the same concern in their lives. And the man, he had a, even though they had the same concern, he had a totally different worry about this situation. And his wife had a completely different worry about the same situation. So we can all be going through trials and tribulations, and yet we're faced with completely different fears. You know, like quite often men are concerned with taking care of their families, and sometimes, or if you're a woman, if you're the head of the household, you're so concerned with finances that everything else gets put on the back burner. And you almost feel like there's no time for yourself, because as a man, you've put everything, you've done everything you could to take care of your family, and you don't have anything for yourself left. And then as I can say from a wife, you know, I do have concerns for finances, but I found that my biggest concern is making sure that I have my household right. And sometimes there's so many things going on that I think, am I spending enough time with my husband? Am I spending enough time with my daughter? Am I doing enough to help people? And then it can get overwhelming. And I just know, you know, at those moments, that is when I really have to lean into my faith. Truly, truly have to lean into my faith. Yesterday, we had the service for Miss Paula, and it just got me to thinking about, you know, we never know when we're going to go to heaven. We never know. Our, you know, what I was talking about, Brother Dave, and he died very young. He was really, really young, not much older than Michael and I are now, and he passed away, and it was sudden. And there was nothing that could be done. He had a heart attack, and it was the kind that you're gone. And it would take a miracle to bring anyone out of that. And it's amazing because, you know, Miss Paula, she loved Brother Dave. And, you know, there were so many times when we would be talking, and she would just, like, feel just so much guilt, like I wish I would have treated Brother Dave better. You know, I wish I would have done this better or done that better. And I would just tell her, you cannot change the past. You can only change the future. And I would just encourage her. And you know that he is with Jesus in heaven. He doesn't have a single worry, single fear. He doesn't want you to fear. He did everything he could to take care of you so that you wouldn't fear. And it would just, you know, sometimes you just need to hear that. When you're hurting and there's pain that's going on in your life, sometimes you just need to hear from someone in the Lord, someone, a brother or sister in the Lord, that everything is going to be okay. And so I just want to encourage you, you know, a lot of times, we get so angry at our family. We get so angry about things in the past that we don't realize how much time we actually have with any of them, you know? So I just want to just share with you, you know, when I was growing up, a lot of times, Joy and I were having this conversation. We got so stuck in laws and rules and regulations in our church that sometimes we forgot to love people. And we would find ourselves, instead of when people came in the door, instead of loving on people and showing them God's love, a few of us would, but not everyone would. We would get so focused on judging the outside of a person's character that we wouldn't even know how to truly love them, as no matter what they looked like. And it's amazing, because we would hear the testimonies, you know, pastor would be like, he would tell us, you know, don't worry about what people look like when they come in. You just need to love everybody. But the enemy, what he does is he makes you, in a secret kind of way, in little bitty thoughts here and there, he'll make you feel like you're better than everyone else. He'll tell you, well, you don't sin anymore. You don't live like that anymore. You're not like that kind of person anymore. You don't do what they used to do anymore. And so you can think that you're better than someone when they walk in that door. And none of us are better than each other. We all will stand before God one day. We will all give account of our lives. Jesus doesn't say, okay, you trust in me because you have this fear, and you go repent because you're a bad person, and you go do this because, you know, he's like, he doesn't just tell us, you know, you all do this and you do that and you do that. No, he starts with, I love you and come to me first. And then he makes friends. Jesus, all throughout his ministry, the first thing that he did was just be with people. And then he would talk to them. And then he would share with them and help them with their lives. But it was never what we have made it to this day. What all of these denominations and churches that we've all separated. And I'll share this more or less next week on the will of our hearts. But a lot of times, we have a hard time loving each other because we only see the outside of a person. It is time, as we get into the end of our lives, that we see people through the eyes of God. That just like he saw us in his sight across the chasm, we need to see people just like he did. We need to see people that, even though they're so, so far in darkness, and it seems like there is no hope for that person that you know in your life or those people, you have to see across that chasm of darkness and see that God still loves that person. Amen. And it can be really hard, especially if that chasm is filled with hurt, with pain, with regrets, especially if it's filled with hard memories, if it's filled with things that you think that you can never forget, or maybe it's something that you can't figure out why you're mad at that person. You don't even know what it is, but when you see them, you get angry. You know, so maybe it's something like that. You know, that is where our hearts have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And I can tell you that I wrestle with the same exact things that you do. That I'm not just like, when I come up here to minister, I am ministering out of experience. I'm not just saying, you do this and you do that. A lot of the times it's because I have failed in an area of my life, and I have given in to the wrong thing, or I have thought the wrong thoughts, or I have followed the wrong ideas, or I have put my faith in something that's just not God. And so when I'm preaching all of these things, it's because I want you to learn from the Bible that there is hope, that there is faith that is tangible inside of you, that you can reach inside of yourself and say, God, I can't deal with this situation anymore, but I know that you can. And so I am putting my faith in you to know that all things work together for good to those who love you and are the called according to your purpose. I may not see it, but I believe it. And, you know, I went through a lot of my life in stages where I would feel like, oh, I understand this now. Do everybody ever experience that, where you go through life and you think, oh, I've got it together now. I've experienced this. I've gone through it. I know what it's like. Okay, I've accomplished that. And then a year later, you go through almost the same exact thing, and you're thinking, wait a second. I thought I knew how to deal with this. Because if we have confidence, like I had, sometimes I would get confidence in myself that I could overcome things. But I would realize when the next situation happened that it wasn't confidence in myself. That all of my confidence and faith had to be in the Lord Jesus. That I couldn't just change things on my own. And I definitely couldn't change people. Absolutely not. But thinking that I could is what got me in trouble so many times. Thinking that I could just, if I just speak the word enough, if I just pray enough, if I just go to church enough, if I just do the right things enough, that somehow I will get the blessings that I need every day of my life. Somehow I will get exactly what I need every day of my life, thinking that, it's some kind of formula, But faith is not a formula. It's like when you go into a battleground, there are unexpected things that happen around each and every corner. You may think that you're going to fight one person and another person comes around the corner and it's someone you didn't expect. You may think that you're winning a battle and it's all going great and you're feeling strong, and then an even bigger opponent turns around the corner and you can feel helpless. And that is the way our lives are in the spiritual atmosphere. When we put our faith in ourselves that somehow we can fight this on our own, somehow our lives will change because we have everything right or we're doing everything good, and then suddenly an attack from the enemy comes and it doesn't go good. If we put our faith in ourselves and in our own abilities, then we will fall. And that kind of fall is a hard one. It's one of those falls that it's almost like you feel like you're a completely different person. Like you feel like you've gone backward so much that you don't know how you're going to go forward. It's a hard fall, but it's not something that God will abandon you in. God never ever abandons his people. Even if you feel like he does, even if you feel like there's nothing there, Yesterday I was talking to Grace, which is Dan's wife, Dan Arndt, his wife, and she said something about when you lose someone in your life, how different it is. It's almost like you had a life with those people. And then, as soon as you lose them, you're almost like living a whole nother life without them. And it can feel like there's like this gray area in between where you're like, I don't really know what to do without this person in life, as we were talking about losing our parents. And I was thinking, man, I went through that when Pastor died. It was like he had prepared us. He had prepared us for years and years and years. And he would tell us, make sure you do this and make sure you do that. My health isn't that great. I could go home with the Lord anytime. And we're like, yeah, right. I don't think so. That's not gonna happen. Look, you're like 75 and you're getting on ladders and painting walls, like you're fine, And so we just thought he was fine. He would last a long time and he would always be around. And then suddenly he was gone. And it was hard. And it was hard because everything that we had thought we had planned and everything that we had thought we had lined up and prepared for when he was gone, nothing worked. Nothing did. It was like we had been put in a blender and spun around and cut up and hurt all in one. And it was terrible. Miss Benny, she probably, out of all of us, she was his wife. She took it the hardest. But she had like this time where he was her purpose in life. And so without him there, it was like she didn't know what to do, you know? And I just want to encourage you, those are the times that are going to come in your life. You cannot avoid them. Each one of us are going to lose not only parents, but we're going to lose people in our lives who are so close to us and so dear to us that we can feel like we've lost that person and almost like it's the end of the world. Like, how can I even function in life? Like, I planned on sharing everything with this person, or, you know, dreams and visions and, you know, you want to share your children's pictures and they're not there. So many things. And I just want to tell you, you're going to go through these things. So don't just when you get there, don't let yourself be alone in it. Let yourself be surrounded by the friends and the family that God has blessed you with. And I'm telling you, when you see like what Frank is going through right now, be there for him. Be there for your brother. Amen. Don't think about anything that anybody said. He is going through things that we can't even imagine. You know, all of us have lost someone. We need to pull that part out of us to feel that compassion for each other. There is nothing like losing someone you love. There's nothing like it. And when you do, there's a part of you that changes, but you can use that part of you to help someone else in their grief. You know, in Romans, it says that we weep with those who weep. That means that when someone is going through something, you don't just like go to them and be like, oh, get over it. Let's go do something fun and let's go be happy. I don't want to see you crying, you know, just get over it. That's not how we are to be. God wants us to feel the hurt that people are going through, to be there for each other. He wants us to do that. You know, there are times in Ecclesiastes, it says there's a time and a season for joy, for hope. There's a time for laughter. There's a time for peace. There's a time for crying. There's a time for war. In each and every thing, there's a time in our lives where we're going to face those things. And some are going to be really hard. But God has blessed us with the help of His Holy Spirit. And He will help us when one of us is struggling, that we can go to the other one and say, hey, I know you're hurting. And you know, I know that as a woman, I'm more emotional than a man, and things touch my heart differently. And sometimes guys can think women cry too much, and women can think that guys don't cry enough. And it's just because we're all different. All of us have different emotions. But the main thing is to just be there. Just be there for people. When something happens and they lose someone, be there for them. Amen. When my real dad died, I'll never forget this. Larry Ambrose came up to me and he told me how much my dad made a difference in his life. And I just thought that was so cool because I rarely talked to him. And it just touched my heart that he went out of his way to tell me that my dad made a difference in his life, and he missed him. And that's what we need to do. We need to do that for Frank. Every once in a while, think about what Miss Paula did for us, what Brother Dave did for us, you know, and remind Frank, you know, that he is loved, that he is precious to each and every one of us. You know, Paul's dad that comes in here, Ed, you know, he fell that day. I went to see him a few times when he was in rehab, and he said, I don't know the name of that guy, But he's always there when I need help. Whenever I need to get somewhere, he's just always there. Like when I walk in the door, he takes me wherever I need to go, or if I'm walking down a hill, he's there, and I'm like, oh, that's Frank. He goes, I just really like that guy. It was really cute. How he was just thinking of him, you know, and Ed had no idea what Frank is going through right now, and he probably still doesn't. But it's just neat how God will put someone on your heart that they just stand out to you, you know, and it's really, really important to tell them that they matter and that you care about them. Have you ever gone through your life and people just don't tell you that you're important? You have, like, they'll tell every other person in your life and they won't tell you anything. You can be the hardest worker on the job and they'll tell everybody else how good they're doing and how much they're blessing the company, and you're really the hardest worker and nobody says anything about you. And then I've heard this from different bosses, and I may even have said it myself, is like when people are faithful, sometimes they get missed because they're there all the time. So you get in the habit of congratulating those or lifting them up, those who aren't there as much, because they do one thing right, and you're like, whew, finally they did one thing right. And that person who's been faithful the whole time doesn't get any reward, doesn't get any congratulations. You just expect them to do what they're supposed to do. And they don't get any of that, hey, you matter. Hey, you're amazing. Hey, you are a blessing. And that can affect you. You know, I did not realize when I was working, I didn't realize that actually affected me sometimes. Like I would work really hard. I would get up in the morning and it was dark and I would get to work, and sometimes I get home and it was dark. And I just felt like I was on this constant working life. Like I didn't even know what a vacation was. I didn't know. And I just felt like so many people expected so much out of me that if I failed in one way, like I would go to work sick sometimes because there was nobody to replace me, and I would just push through it and be as careful as I could. I did not like doing that, but because so many people depended on me. And so I would put so much faith in myself that when hard times came and I didn't have anything else to give, I would just drop and it would be hard. And sometimes I felt like everybody wanted to tell me, this is how you need to run your life. You know, this is how you need to run your restaurant. This is how you, and it wasn't just, it was just everybody. Everybody would be like, you need to do this and you need to do that. And I would just feel like, yeah, I would, in my head, I would think, okay, you get up at 3:30 tomorrow morning and you go to work and then tell me how to do my job. But I would try to be kind, but in the end, what it did was it put in bitterness slowly over time. I was just putting on another layer of bitterness each and every time someone would be like, you need to do things this way. And I'd be like, no, I don't. And another layer of bitterness would come. And then I'd feel like I was doing too much and nobody was there for me. And another layer of bitterness would come. And it got so hard to the point that it was starting to destroy my life. And I didn't tell anyone about it. And then one day, I just got to this point where I had like, I was just done. You know, you get to those points where it's like, you just have done everything and there's just nothing. You can't do anymore. And I felt like I was just going to work And I just hated being there. Every day I'd go to work and I would work as hard as I could because it was my job, but it was just a job. I was getting upset at people. I was throwing tantrums. It was embarrassing, honestly. But it was who I was becoming. And I got so far into that, that people were starting to notice there's something different about her. There's something wrong. And I remember Miss Penny, she told me, she was like, "You know, you really should take a vacation." And I was like, it was like one of those moments where someone says the wrong thing and you're like, "I don't think so." I was like, "I can't take a vacation." And I just like rolled out on her. And then at the end of the conversation, "So are you gonna take a vacation?" And she just like forced me to think something different, and that's what I needed. I needed to realize my whole life didn't revolve around this restaurant, but I felt like it did. And so I was so thankful that she put that seed into my heart that it was okay to take a vacation. And once I did, it was like God showed me, "You have been trying to do all this on your own, and you're not loving people, and you don't care about people because you're not really caring about yourself. You're not really loving yourself." And it was like a whole shift in how I viewed things in life. And I finally took a vacation, and it was like a whole weight lifted off my shoulders that, hey, it's okay to do that. And for the longest time, I'm telling you, I did not feel like it was okay. I honestly felt like I had to do the diner all the time. I felt like there was never ever a chance that I would ever get a vacation. I would give everyone else vacations and they could do whatever they wanted, but I felt like I didn't deserve it somehow. Like I had to be the one to show everybody that I was the hardest worker. And really, that was just pride. And so God had to let. So when I took that vacation, it was like God started working in my heart. All right, let's get rid of this bitterness. So pull that out. And okay, let's get rid of this pride. Pull that out. It was like I honestly felt like I was getting cut. Like, you know. But God was like, "Okay, we're gonna take all that out, and I'm gonna just put my love in there." And he did. And God changed my heart. So after that, he actually healed my relationship with a lot of my employees. My attitude changed where I would go to work and I actually wanted to be there. I actually delighted in everything that I did there. And it was like God knew that I wasn't going to be there forever, but he didn't want me to leave there with an angry and bitter heart. He wanted me to leave there with joy and with peace and with a new purpose in life. And I just want to encourage you, you may be feeling that same way where you just feel like you're stuck in this position, or you're stuck in this way of thinking, or you're stuck in this relationship and you feel like nothing is changing. But God, he doesn't want you to just suffer through things. Sometimes God may bring a friend in your life or a mom, in my case, who will say, "Hey, you need a vacation." You know? Or he will say, "Hey, you need to take a day off." He'll bring that friend in your life who will say, "You need to take this time to reset." Because in that reset and in that time, you will find that God will show you your purpose again in life. That God will show you how much that he loves you and he cares about you. And I can tell you, life is so much sweeter and so much better when you get to that point. Amen. I am going to read one scripture and then I'm going to pray and close out, because this scripture has made a huge impact on my life, and I memorized it in school. in the King James Version. And I found that sometimes when I memorize something, I can just like, I can quote it, but I'm just quoting it. It's not like I'm hearing the words, you know? So I enjoy memorizing scripture, but sometimes if I've memorized something, I have to write it down in order to actually see each word and feel the power of the words. I don't know if that any of you go through that same thing. So this is Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, or 1 through 3. And this is New Living Translation, verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn how to learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this morning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. This is what I had to tell myself, that I had to let that pride go and actually believe that I wasn't better than anyone else, even though I felt like I was. And it really is embarrassing, honestly. And if you knew me back in the day and had to work with me, I'm sorry. That was a rough time. You know, Michael Kessner put up with me a lot. And I was like, he was younger than I was. And so quite often I would boss him around and tell him what to do. He hated that. He did not like that at all. And finally one day he was like, he went, got another job. But he later on he told me, you know, I didn't like that about you. That was not nice. You should not have been that way. But he was my friend, and he was willing to tell me the truth of the way I was acting. And no, did I like it? No. But it was after the time that I had gotten delivered from that, and I realized, and I was like, you were right. I was not a good person. And I had to apologize and repent to so many people for the way that I was. And I'm telling you, God, he called me to ministry, but he had to humble me in order for me to truly love myself and love others. He truly had to humble me. And I am so thankful because I love doing what I do now. I love it, and I love it, and I love it. I'm telling you, I get to talk to people. Like Michael and I were talking to Dan yesterday, and we were telling him, you know, we obviously this wasn't what we expected as a couple, but I knew that I was called to ministry. Michael did not. So it was like for him, you know, he would have been happy as a missionary in China somewhere. You know, he wasn't a people person. And yet God put this special anointing in both of us where we actually love people. That when we talk to people, we don't just talk to you like you're just another person here. Each one of you is important to us. We care about your lives. We care about what you're going through because God has shown us how important people are. That God cares about the one. He goes after individuals. He looks across the chasm and sees you in his sight. He sees you. Isn't that awesome? Yes, I just want you to remember that, because that song, it was so powerful today, that God literally sees each individual. He doesn't favor one person over another. You know, like we all have kids, and sometimes people can think, well, I love this kid more than that kid because they behave better. But It's not like that with God. He sees the worst behaving kid and loves them, and he sees the best behaving kid and loves them. God loves everyone, and it's just incredible. Amen. If you haven't experienced that love, just pray that God will show you. You know, like I didn't expect to be hit with God's presence so powerfully this morning with that song, but it was awesome. You know, God'll show you those little things in your life. Maybe it's when you least expect it, but he will show you. And it'll change your life forever. Amen. All right, you can go ahead and stand and we'll pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I just want to encourage you to open up your hearts to the Lord. Whatever is going on, whatever situation you're going through, whatever trial, you don't have to say anything out loud. God knows what you are facing. He knows the hurts and the pain. He knows what you are going through. And he is opening up your heart to him right now. He is showing you that you are not alone. He is showing you that you are made strong when you are weak by his power. He is showing you that he loves you even when you feel like no one else does. And he is also humbling each and every one of us. When we feel like pride is overtaking us, Jesus is humbling us. So I just pray in Jesus' name, God, our hearts are open to you. Our lives are open to you. Have your way, Lord, where we are struggling, where we feel like we just can't get through this situation, or it seems like something is just not going to change. God, we just ask you, Lord, that you would lead us, God, that you would show us, Father, what is it that we need to change in our hearts, God? Maybe it's someone that we need to forgive. Maybe it's someone that we need to talk to. Maybe it's something that we need to change. God, whatever it is, Lord, we truly surrender to you. Today, Lord, we just ask that wherever we go, that you would lead us by your Holy Spirit as we go through our work weeks, God. As kids return to school and are in school, we ask that you would protect our children, Father. In Jesus' name, protect our schools all across this nation, God. The people who are hurting because they lost their children in that shooting last week, God, we just ask that you would comfort each and every family member. Comfort the fellow students and their families, the teachers and the administration, all who are involved in that church, God. We just thank you, Father. Thank you for healing that community in Jesus' name. And God, we just thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. If you need prayer, come up anytime.